Springer Mountain Farms, the purest, best-tasting chicken available. Visit SpringerMTN.com and join the flock for cooking tips, coupons, and great information. Springer Mountain Farms, simply superior chicken. Always great care and great taste.
From the station that made country music famous, 650 AM WSM, this is a Coffee, Country, and Cody podcast.
Hi, it's Charlie Maddox, and in this episode, we sit down with Riley Green, a member of the inaugural class of Opry Next Stage 2019. This is part of our week-long look at the Opry Next Stage class. We visited with Riley backstage at the Opry this summer. We chatted about his Opry debut, the importance of Opry Next Stage, and a monster number one radio hit. Enjoy our Coffee, Country, and Cody podcast with Riley Green. The music of Riley Green on 650 AM WSM, and a pleasure to visit with Riley backstage at the Grand Ole Opry House. Obviously a busy night here, outside on the plaza, then on stage at the Grand Ole Opry, and a really fun night with all the artists from Opry Next Stage. Talk about that experience and just how cool it is to be, I guess, in partnership with the Opry. It's a great embrace for a lot of artists.
Yeah, to be tied to the Opry in any way, shape, or form, you know, like be able to hitch my wagon to theirs is a pretty amazing thing. And you know, when they first asked me to do it, it was I didn't really know what it entailed. I didn't really know what would come from it, but it's an exciting thing to see the Opry kind of put their stamp of approval on what I'm doing with my music and my career. And like I said, it's been great so far, and I'm excited to see where the rest of the year goes with it.
Take me back to that first time on the Opry stage.
We played at the Ryman. Yeah, my debut, and it was a pretty. It's a pretty crazy feeling. I played a lot of stages, a lot of different venues, and a lot of them with some history, you know, but there's nothing like that feeling and realizing that, you know, you're actually there. It's more of a milestone for me. That's kind of one of those things nobody can ever take away.
He's named the artist you need to know by Rolling Stone, and Music Row said the same thing. Recently named an Opry Next Stage artist, you are making history, as is he. By being here tonight, you get to share in his debut on the Grand Ole Opry stage, the Ryman Auditorium. Please welcome Riley Green, ladies and gentlemen.
There's nothing guaranteed about playing at the Opry. I know what the Opry means and what it stands for and how big a deal it actually is, but that's really the only thing that's gonna make my grandparents think that I've like made it. They acted like it was the biggest thing you could possibly do, so that's kind of how it was in my head.
Did you find, and I hear this from a lot of artists, that it's almost over before it starts. It's like you're out there and it's like, I'm done already?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, you got all this build-up, too. Yeah. You know, and as soon as they tell you you're going to play the Opry, it's like, oh, you got that date marked on your calendar, and you're looking forward to it. And then, you know, we did interviews all day long, and you know, family and label and everybody came out, and then you play, and it's two or three songs, and it's done.
Yeah.
I'm also used to playing about four-hour acoustic sets for bar tabs back in Alabama, so two or three songs is pretty quick for me anyway.
I should have started with this, because the obvious question to anybody who was born and raised in Alabama is Roll Tide or War Eagle?
I'm a sad, quiet Auburn fan.
Okay,
I'm a War Eagle fan, but now we had a good basketball team this year. That was something to be excited about.
Well, I guess that, you know, I heard the lyrics to Georgia Time, and I thought, oh, this is either going to fit or is just for the purpose of the song. So
you've got to tip your hat to both where I'm from. You know, you can't ride too much because you don't want to cut half your fans out.
Oh, yeah. It was a good basketball year, though.
It was.
It really was. So I was, just an aside, I was just so bummed when I heard the news about Rod Bramlett. I mean, with such a longtime voice, and as a radio guy, it's so hit home. What a tragic story.
Yeah, well, you said it right. The radio voices, you know, or something that it actually can take you back to somewhere. I mean, it's really like that can reminds me of my childhood hearing certain people on the radio. It was Rick and Bubba where I grew up. Even in my folks were Alabama fans. My granddad was a big Alabama fan, and Eli Gold.
Oh yeah,
I mean, his voice was just something that just reminded me of football season.
Yeah.
And you hate to see that. That's a real tragic thing, and kind of keeping Auburn in our thoughts and prayers.
Yeah, Eli, the voice of NASCAR for a lot of folks too, which leads me into a song I absolutely love. I was intrigued by the title, Numbers on the Cars, and I went NASCAR. My first thought, I said, oh, it's gonna be a NASCAR song, and then I heard it, and I'm like, whoa, what a great analogy and what a wonderfully written song. And I'm sure that's one that when people hear it, it hits home for a lot of people.
Yeah, you know, that song will probably never be a radio hit.
Yeah.
And it's, I'm fine with that. I remember the first time I played it was in Atlanta, Eddie's Attic, and these ladies came up and were just bawling.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's funny because that song's so specific kind of to my granddad and his, you know, passion for NASCAR, but it was like, it was their mom or their aunt or their grandmother, and it wasn't NASCAR, it was sewing or whatever it was. But that's the thing, is that there's something that they hold on to and something they always remember, and that was that's what's really great about songwriting to me, is if you can write something that's so specific to you and people make it their own.
Yeah, it's the beauty of country music. It's universal. I mean, everybody has a story, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So you said that one probably never will be a radio hit. Let's talk about one that was a monster radio hit. And I was thrilled. I've forgotten you had co-written this with Eric Dillon, who's been in with us on Coffee Country and Cody as well, and just a terrific singer-songwriter.
Eric's great. He was. I was real fortunate. I met a handful of folks in town, you know, before even signing a record deal or publishing deal, that I wrote. Yeah. They were great writers.
Yeah.
And Eric was one of them. And, you know, it's funny. I called him when I was cutting my first EP and said, "Hey, man, you know, I'm changing this song. We're moving this song to this one." He said, "Oh, that's great. Well, now I've got 5 songs on the EP."
Yeah.
And I was like, me and him write together so much, I just assume he's written on everything with me. But he's a great writer, and I'm really happy for his success with There Was This Girl. It's pretty cool for him to have his first number one, too.
Where were you first time you heard it on the radio? Now, you probably obviously heard it in the studio a bunch of times, and maybe heard it on the record, but first time you were maybe driving in your car and you weren't expecting to hear it.
Well, it sounds different when you hear it on the radio.
It does,
especially
doesn't
when
it?
Somebody introduces it, you know?
Yeah.
I was coming back from hunting in Macon, Georgia. I was coming through, you know, coming back up to Nashville, and one of those Atlanta stations played it, and that was a really cool moment, and you don't get tired of hearing it.
Were you by yourself? Was there somebody else in the car?
I was by myself, and it was the middle of the night, too. So
wow.
They were playing it overnight, but it still, I heard it.
No, it makes it almost surreal at that point. It's like, am I dreaming this, or is this really happening? Yeah. But there is something that makes it so legit when you hear it that
way.
Yeah. Kind of like stepping out on that Opry stage. It's a milestone.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, it's just like you said, I've played a lot of different stages, but there's something about that stage.
Yeah.
And I've heard that song 8 billion times, but when you hear somebody announce it on the radio, it seems official.
I'm sure a crazy week for you. You enjoy meeting and visiting with the fans, because there's a lot of that this week.
I can remember when nobody wanted to take a picture with me. You know? It's a great week for country music, and it's, you know, there's nothing like it. There's no other genre of music that has a week like this, and everybody's in town. You never know who you're going to see playing, and it's a busy week, but it's, you know, it's a great opportunity to get in front of a lot of fans.
All right, well, go sweat a little outside and come back inside and play in the air conditioning for show number 2.
Sounds good. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Riley.
Thanks for listening to our Coffee Country and Cody podcast. Our digital program director is Jay Patrick. Our digital producer is Haley Hall. Marketing and promotions director, Nicole A. Judd. General manager of 650 AM WSM is Chris Kulik. I'm Charlie Matos. We'll see you next time on our Coffee Country and Cody podcast.
Springer Mountain Farms, the purest, best-tasting chicken available. Visit SpringerMTN.com and join the flock for cooking tips, coupons, and great information. Springer Mountain Farms, simply superior chicken, always great care and great taste.